Reyes, and welcome to part three of your birthday reading. My name's Eric Francis, and I'm back one day later, and one Bruce Springsteen concert later, my first one, actually, that I went to last night. It was a great show. I wasn't expecting anything less, but then you think, wow, you know, how can someone keep it fresh for, what, 45 years or something? Absolutely played almost like it was the first time they had ever gotten in front of an audience that big. It was amazingly thrilling. And thank you to Steve Bergstein for passing along the tickets to me. All right, I'm here first with some astrology afterthoughts. I had mentioned that one of those, turning down my headset volume, afterthoughts would involve Uranus, the modern planet associated with your sign. And I think it's, you know, always good to check Uranus for the story that it tells about Aquarius. Check Saturn first. And if you want to understand Saturn, check in with Aquarius as well as with Capricorn and all that. So that we've done that. We've talked a lot about Saturn. And I know that I've personally been watching Saturn and Sagittarius carefully for you. And let's talk about Uranus. And in particular, Aries, where Uranus is located, is your third solar house, or third house if you have Aquarius rising. And here's another one of those things you won't read in an astrology textbook. The third house is a lot about ideas and communication. It's a very mental house. There are two really mental houses, house three and house six, which seem to be like these sort of intellectual condensing units in the chart. House three addresses more things about communication, though I would say that ideas are, you know, found there. Ideas are found in the third house. And you have Aries on the third house. And I have a little theory about where Aries lands in any chart, which is that where you find Aries, in this case, the third house for Aquarius, you have a place to look for where the person born with that sign, strong in their chart, sun or rising, seeks their identity. And I'm an Aquarius moon. It holds true for the moon as well, at least in this case. And so one of the reasons why Aquarius is so associated with ideas is because you seek your identity in ideas. It's interesting that those words begin with the letters ID. I wonder if that is a connection. I'll check the etymology of that. Idea and identity. And for you, idea and identity are very closely related. And you'll be a happier camper if you play with ideas, and you probably already do play with ideas. And having Aries on the third house, to me, is an illustration of the way in which you are able to kind of concentrate your self-awareness through the process of ideation, including writing, important thing in the third house, and communicating with others. But you have Aries there, which means there's a lot of internal communication going on, inner dialogue and discussion, and you can be incredibly independent. This is one of the facets of Aquarius that is not so obviously associated with group identity, but rather with the polar opposite of group identity, which is individuation. And so one of the ways for you to individuate is to have your own ideas. But here's the caution that I'm getting with the collection of planets that are in Aries right now. One of them being Uranus, the ruling planet from the modern days, currently thought of by most astrologers, and also Eris, which has been in Aries since you were born, because it entered in 25, and you probably weren't born then. And that has stoked the fires of individuality for you. It is, I think, illustrative of the troublemaker streak in a lot of Aquarians, which is a kind of a delightful ability to kind of upend reality. And as one of my friends and astrology student was saying, particularly about the Aquarius moon, but I think that it may hold true that we don't really care what people think. We just care what we think. And that's the thing I'm suggesting that you unravel, which is that you be on alert with the potent aspects happening in Aquarius right and Aries right now, mainly the Uranus Eris conjunction going on into 2017. Probably one of the most important conjunctions of our lifetimes, I would say, given what we now know about Eris. It's up there with the Uranus-Pluto conjunction of the 1960s. It's up there with the Capricorn alignment of the late 80s and early 1990s, a grand conjunction of Uranus and Neptune and Saturn. That was a big deal. That changed the world, kind of spun the world on its finger in many ways. And now we have the conjunction of our era of history. Remember, conjunctions between outer planets are rare because they take so long to go around and they're always chasing one another. So it takes time to catch up. And this whole thing is suggesting to me that you really go out of your way to seek multiple viewpoints on everything. This is to help you think for yourself, but it's also to shift you out of the potential to be locked into your own viewpoint rather than to be flexible in your own viewpoint. The one thing that you don't want to get is stuck in a viewpoint. And it's easy to get stuck in a viewpoint and not know that you are stuck in a viewpoint. And so one of the ways to avoid that is to seek the perspective of others. Now, this is a little bit different than like asking people what they think and then just going with it. What I'm talking about is what I call in my life taking people's opinions under advisement. It doesn't mean they give me advice and I go run off and do it. But under advisement means I add that on my list of things to contemplate. And this can include, and often does, going to people who have different politics and different approaches to business than I do. One of my closest friends is a kind of arch conservative, and you would think we have absolutely nothing in common, but we have something in common that is on a deep level, what you might call spiritually, and let's call it that. But in many worldly matters, I know he's going to have a completely different viewpoint, and I'm really interested in what he thinks about anything that I'm writing about or addressing or dealing with. And it's always interesting to have someone who you know you're likely to disagree with, but then you take that information and you kind of hybridize it into something. Maybe you consider the opposite. You see the valid point in it. You recognize the intention that's included in it. There's a lot of ways to handle this, but what I'm suggesting here is that you really go for the multiple viewpoint and apply some of that very strong Pisces in your chart and take circumspect approaches to problems, one of which is not assuming you're right, leaving yourself room to be completely wrong. It doesn't mean you are wrong. It just means that, well, the world is a complex place and there's a lot of information flying around. Not all of it is accurate and things are being updated all the time. And most things we learned as kids aren't really true. And so this is the thing to watch out for. And I think that if you can work with a kind of a multiplicity of viewpoint and use that diversity of opinion to build carefully and consciously a perspective, you will be much more brilliant. This will help you. All right. Have some tarot cards here. Have the big old deck of I was going to say Mother Peace. This Mother Peace came out the same year as the Voyager deck. They're definitely not. If anything, James Wanless was responding to all of that like heavy viewpoint stuff that the tarot card decks can often have. And he was going for multiplicity of viewpoint. For example, this deck is made of photo collages from images cut out of magazines. The whole deck is cut out of magazines. Ads, he said. Not even editorial photos. He said this is all made of ads, including the DNA slice on the back. All advertising. And it is a transformative work and a work made from the viewpoints of many, many different artists. But he was the art director. And then someone sat there back in the day of the X-Acto knife, which is still a contemporary tool in my home. That one on every desk. And came up with this beautiful deck that is kind of kaleidoscopic and gives you a lot to work with when reading it. So let's see what these cards have to say. I'm going to draw them in the order of the spread, and then I read them in a slightly different order. I alter one thing, which is I start with what you want, what my cards in the random choice say to me, which I then say to you, which is what tarot is. It's a series of interpretations that are passed along, inherently giving multiple viewpoints, especially since there are 10 cards out. And the other thing is that I was doing a little contemplation of this Marshall McLuhanism we've all heard, the medium is the message. And I think that if we go for the message of the medium of tarot, apart from the content of the spread, the message of the medium is that things drawn in a random order can have relevance. And the other thing is that when you read tarot cards, typically you are above the cards. And what you're doing is creating a representation of your life that you're above. And I think that change in perspective, the ability to take a bird's eye view on your circumstances, is a helpful thing. And I think regardless of what the cards say, that the ability to look down on the playing field surface of your life is empowering all by itself. So those two things, the drawing in a random order and getting something that makes sense, usually, and then the bird's eye view. So starting with the card of what you want, it's a cautious card. It's the Hierophant. Also, you know, one of the root cards. It's the fifth trump card, and it's nature is Taurian, so it's the tarot card, trump card associated with Taurus. And here's the multiple viewpoint angle on that. Not in this deck. Let me get out my grandpa's magnifying glass, which I keep around for just this kind of a purpose. Okay, so though not in this deck, traditionally, the Hierophant card, also sometimes called the Pope, is illustrated with two monks sitting at the feet of the Pope or the great teacher or the connection to God. And one of the monks has lilies on his vestment and one has roses on his vestment. If I'm not mistaken, the one on the left has the roses and the one on the right has the lilies, representing the two paths, left and right. But notably, that is to say, left and right, one meaning passion and the other being kind of a asceticism or purity, lead to the same place. And so remember that there are different ways to get to the same place and that one need not embark solely on a path of asceticism and purity, nor, you know, do you need to take the kind of path of what I call left tantra and let things run completely wild and out of control, but you can borrow from one or from the other. Now, one thing that's really interesting is in your in the chart I'm using. Let me see if I can find this. Dionysus makes a cameo. I've got a lot of asteroids drawn into this chart. And I may not be able to find it, but it showed up in a way that was saying, oh, there's a message here from Dionysus. And the message from Dionysus is, oh, there it is. It's right in Pisces. Oh, that's very interesting. Okay, so it's conjunct Chiron, it's conjunct Borsisi, and conjunct the South Node. It's saying, let yourself go crazy every now and then. I think it's necessary to do things that shake up your reality, to not be, you know, to not have a stick up your ass, basically, every now and then. It's necessary to do something like get drunk or trip or go to an amusement park or do something Dionysian, which is to court a little bit of insanity, just a little bit, just a little touch, to know that you're not totally bound up and wound up in the intellectual mind and in your self-concept. Beautiful thing there. So, and conjunct Chiron, that will be an indication that this is, especially in Pisces, going to be very helpful to your healing process. All right, let's see. Significator card. First card. Okay, disappointment, and I'm going to leave it inverted, which is to say that you are, it looks like, under the influence of some disappointing influence. Disappointment means an appointment that didn't happen. So ask yourself if there's any appointments that someone missed, and how you're doing working on, you know, how are you doing resolving that, and are you still hurt? Were you hurt at all? Is this completely wrong? Do you, you know, what about your sensitivity? Is this something that you acknowledge? One thing that's fairly easy as an Aquarian to kind of grapple with is your sensitivity. You know, not everyone, especially now, and with the world becoming increasingly Aquarian as the days go on, likes to be sensitive. It's easier in the short run anyway to not be sensitive, because there's so much that there's just so much in the way of sources of pain and sadness and disappointment. But you are appearing to be very sensitive, and I would suggest that you honor your sensitivity some way, rather than kind of try to sweep it aside or pretend that it's not a factor. To be a sensitive person, even the ultimate Aquarian himself, Mr. Spock, was sensitive, profoundly sensitive. There, he was no robot. He understood logic. He had a way of making sense. But the beauty of Spock, and this is the beauty of I think a lot of science fiction characters, is that they embody something opposite the obvious. And so for you, that might just, you know, be a reminder. And I, by the way, I do often say this to Sagittarians as well, who have your closest cousins in the zodiac, who I think have a similar tendency to not want to seem too sensitive, but who in fact actually are. And I would, by the way, consider Sagittarius to be the friendship sign of Aquarius. If you want to talk to other people who have an outsider perspective, as you do, them would be some Sag people. Okay, so now the moon appears in the what order are these in? Okay, so I've got four cards turned up here. I've kind of lost my syntax of this. The moon shows up as the sensitivity, along with this inverted disappointment thing. And the moon is saying, this is about sensitivity more than it's about disappointment. Beneath that, the root of this reveals something of the subject matter we may be talking about. And that subject matter may be a professional project that didn't come out the way you wanted, but I would strongly suggest that this idea is quite alive and well. So far, in the first four cards, the Ace of Wands is the kind of boldest and brightest card, and it's fiery, and it's at the root of the spread. And I would, speaking of ideas, remind you that whatever idea there was is still quite alive and has vitality to it. So remember that. This may go back about 3 months, and there is still a hot fire burning. The Hierophant, somewhat above that, the one that's above the inverted disappointment card, is suggesting that you consider the multiple pathways to get to that, to manifesting that idea. All right, this next card is the universe. So right in the middle of the spread, we pull the 21st trump, the kind of high card of the entire tarot deck. And this is saying, as far as I'm concerned, that anything is possible. The universe card, in my opinion, is associated with the planet Saturn. And so this is suggesting that the real patron of this time in your life is Saturn in Sagittarius. Definitely keep an eye on what's going on with Uranus and Aries and the conjunction from Uranus. As I said in Vision Quest, there are real ideas brewing, but ultimately you're now in a phase not of making up ideas, but you are in a phase of manifesting. So this is a time of building more than it is a time of just like thinking of things. So actions are the natural outcome. Okay, this next position is resistance. And we get an appropriate card here, narrowness inverted. This is the Nine of Crystals. Now, I can never quite associate crystals with one of the suits in the conventional tarot. It kind of stands alone. It seems to be related to pentacles or stones, an earth-based thing. But in any event, the card is called Narrowness, and it is suggesting that you want a wide perspective. You want to open up your viewpoint, and will help you to do so, and to not resist opening up your viewpoint. If somehow you have an idea that by being conversant with others and by seeking to build consensus, you're giving up your identity, I would suggest that your concept of identity is pretty frail, and the concept of identity that you want is the kind that can interrelate with others on the level of ideas where your mind is changed through the interrelation, right? This is the whole point of thinking, is to change your mind. Change being develop, change being make a decision, many things possible. And you want a broad field, a wide angle lens. The next two cards address the environment and address relationships. And these are two very chipper cards from the cup suit, the Ace and the Nine. And this is suggesting to me that you are in an environment that will support your self-love and self-esteem. I consider the Ace of Cups to be the root of the powers of love. It's also the self-love card, and in its many contexts. I used to play a little game at masturbation workshops with a tarot deck, and whoever pulled the Ace of Cups got to go next. And then next to that is the Nine of Cups, which is the, it's called fulfillment, and it's the wish card. And so the hint here is that basically through self-love, anything is possible, that you will manifest love through appreciating and kind of celebrating your own existence in a watery way. It's cups. The central figure is a big rose with lots of other photos of flowers gathered around it. Beautiful ones running the spectrum. Seems like every color except green. Are there green flowers? There must be green flowers. Okay, and then fulfillment. So they work together. The thing to remember is project self-love into your environment, and you'll get back happiness in that environment. Okay, one of the outcome cards, I have two I use for this, and one I call Outcome at Present, Course, and Speed. That's the Achiever, the Man of Worlds. That's the extension of this Ace of Wands card at the bottom. There is a, that's the manifestation of that idea is still alive. I mentioned that a few moments ago with the Ace of Wands, you know, as the root, one of the root cards in the spread. And that will manifest as achievement. And now I'm looking at the whole thing with one card left to turn over to check the process. It is very important that you leave behind past disappointments and struggles, and that you really start new, and that you orient your mind on knowing you have multiple paths you can take to the same destination, but also vis-a-vis the Hierophant, make sure you have mentors that you respect immensely so that you have a kind of a guide to higher thought. If nothing else, a beacon. You don't even necessarily need to know your mentors. It's helpful sometimes, but there are certainly have been many important people in my life who I never got to meet or haven't yet, but whose mental presence served for me as a beacon, as a guide, and as a model. Last card, the very bottom, checking the work, we come up with the Sun. The Sun being the card of everything's fine. That's what I take from the Sun. Or as Crowley translates the Sun in a little formula, the freedom that brings sanity, or the sanity that brings freedom. So what good old Therion did was he equated sanity and freedom. And this is in the write-up for the card The Sun. Pretty sure it's in the Book of Toth, the best book on tarot that I've ever seen. A little spooky and Crowley-esque and full of all kinds of wit. But if you like the tarot, I do suggest getting yourself a copy of the Book of Toth and seeing what he has to say in his commentaries. You get bits of brilliance like the freedom that brings sanity and the sanity that brings freedom. And on that very happy note, I leave you for now. By the way, speaking of tarot, I just initiated with Amy, one of my most dependable idea people and production people, class, a tarot class that I'm planning for. Let's get the date right. I believe I'm doing this on the morning of Saturday, the 5th of March. It'll be probably noon Eastern, noon to 3 Eastern time. We'll send an announcement out to all of our friends and people in the network and customers. And it's my introduction to tarot, introduction to divination. All right. Happy birthday. Thanks for tuning in. Questions to efc@ericfrancis.com. Been having some trouble with that email, but I think we kind of worked the Mercury retrograde out of it for now. And I should reply pretty quickly. Better to write to me not on Tuesday or Thursday. Other days, that's fine. Okay, till soon. I love you. And bye for now.
Thank you.